Even though we've got one more series to go for the NBA Finals starting on Wednesday, Spurs and Thunder, I'm here to tell you, the hot stove summer in the NBA is going to be wild. Welcome to Hour 2. Zabe with you on a Sports Sunday here on The Fan. Not only is the LeBron James piece going to be fascinating and huge, and I don't think he's going to stay with the Lakers, more on that in a second, but you also have OKC with all these assets piling up in Sam Presti's draft pick bank account, having fallen short against a Spurs team that has their number. I believe the number this year for OKC is 72% against the rest of the league and 32% winning percentage against the Spurs. I believe they went 4-8 against the Spurs. Don't hold me to that exact number. I'm just absorbing all the washed over statistics and nuggets I got from last night. They got a Spurs problem in OKC. And Chet Holmgren was not the answer. Chet Holmgren not only got posterized by Wemby, and there is a picture out there, if you haven't seen it already this morning, of poor Chet getting completely stuffed on by the 7'4" alien who was overcome emotionally after their win yesterday, which is a cool thing, and I do want to talk about that. Chet Holmgren was not the answer. 4 points on four shots. He's also going to be paid a ton of money. Chet Holmgren also made an all-NBA team. He was third all-NBA. I don't follow the all-NBA team voting closely, so I didn't really make note of it. But I would have asked the question of, is he really that good? I mean, maybe regular season, maybe the numbers are there. But the gap between Wemby and Chet is the Grand Canyon. But Chet's going to get paid big time because of his max contract. So he's going to be a piece in a possible upcoming trade this summer, as they've got first-rounders to give to go get something nice. Hey, Clark, I want you to buy something nice for yourself, like Cousin Eddie said in Family Vacation, Christmas Vacation. Thank you. Sorry. Anyhow, it's going to be wild because not only is Giannis clearly in play, if the Thunder get Giannis and they unload this dog of a contract and Chet, and they give up some first-round picks deep into the future, of which they already have a surplus, and they team Giannis with SGA, oh my God. Like, it still may not be enough against the emerging trifecta of Wemby, Castle, and Harper, who are all impossibly young. Not only are the Spurs the youngest team in the league, their coach is one of the youngest in the league at 39 years old. And the future is not just bright in San Antonio, it's blinding. Some headlines I saw said Spurs, Wemby make finals ahead of schedule. Okay, well, I don't know what the schedule was, but they here. And they not going anywhere. So, back to the Thunder. So, the offseason is going to be wild because there's a bunch of parts possibly in play. Some people are saying a three-way deal to get Giannis to wherever he wants to go. The Heat are going to be pursuers on this. The initials, AD, Anthony Davis, has been mentioned as well. Big man, big contract, movable piece. It depends on what the Wizards might get back in return for him. It may work out if we can move that piece for future firsts. Because when you watch last night's game as a Wizards fan, in the back of your head, you're not really thinking about the Wizards directly watching the game, but you're just, as a Wizards fan, you're watching this high level big boy basketball game, and you're saying to yourself, okay, we are just now beginning to crawl out of the mud, hopefully, sitting at the 1-1 pick, unless it's traded, the 1-1 pick coming up next month. The mountaintop of which last night's Game 7 was not even the mountaintop. It was base camp before the summit of the mountaintop, which comes in a week or more starting this Wednesday. Man, the summit of where you want to go is so steep. It almost feels impossible. But let's take it a step at a time. We tanked. We got the number one. Hopefully we're going to take somebody nice. I assume it's going to be Dybansta. Dybansta's kind of made, he hasn't said it. There is atmospheric belief, though, that Utah may do something crazy and dumb and say, here, we want him that bad. And the Wizards could move down a spot and take Peterson instead, who may end up being the better pro. We'll see about all that. Hopefully the Wizards can start this March. It took, though, the Spurs an amazing run of picking not only high, but nailing their high picks. Because it's one thing just to have a bunch of picks that turn out to be high lottery picks. You got to make something of them. You got to be able to nail those picks. And that's what the Spurs have done to get where they are. Now to the flopping. It was not rewarded a number of times last night on SGA fall downs, and I was like, good. The referees are starting to learn. Just because he falls down, don't blow the whistle. That said, there was a couple that got egregious in the fourth quarter. There was one flop that I desperately wanted them to show again on NBC, and they didn't, which told me, oh yeah, it must be pretty bad. Because don't think for a second that NBC is not treading very carefully on, you know, impugning the integrity of the NBA's product. But the one flop, which was a pump fake, I guess not really a flop, but it was a pump fake move, under 4 minutes to play in the game, shot clock was down to like 6 seconds, SGA is being guarded by Vassell on the left wing, or Vassell. And he does a hard pump fake. Vassell jumps, which I know you're coached not to do, but he does. It's hard not to. But he jumps in a way that is in control and in a direction that he no doubt thought was, okay, I'm going to do an angled flyby on this shot attempt, which turned out to be a pump fake. I'm going to come at him from an angle so that I'm not crashing into him. I'm going 45 degrees. He's pump faking. Maybe, you know, he's either shooting or pump faking. I don't know. But I'm going to jump, but I'm going to go 45 degrees because I don't want to land on him. Okay. Pump fake SGA. He sees that Vassell is in the air. And then he makes the most exaggerated shot attempt in which SGA hurls himself back and to the left while trying to shoot, and then, of course, collides right into Vassell and crashes to the ground. I mean, come on. If you haven't seen that clip circulating on social media, it is the epitome of this crap has got to end. And unfortunately, I don't know if Adam Silver fully understands that he's going to have to do this. He's going to have to get his arms around it. The NBA was slow on the uptick when it comes to the All-Star game, which had become an unwatchable, lazy wreck for several years. And the league's like, nah, it's a showcase for the stars. We know it's not a real game. What do you really want defense for? Come on, let's have some fun. Let's throw some alley-oops. People were screaming, they're not trying. And finally, the league said, okay, we're going to do something about it. The fix is not perfect, but the fix actually moved the needle this year. They did the same thing on tanking. Fans were complaining. And the league kind of stuck their fingers in their ears and said, la, 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 I can't hear you. But finally, they had to act. And so the new rules are in place. What OKC did, getting the 1-1 in Wemby, the 1-4 in Castle, and then the 1-2 in Harper. Dylan Harper is so smooth. He's going to be such a superstar. the fact that Rutgers had him and Ace Bailey, who was also sweet as pie, and they couldn't break an egg up there at Piscataway with those two guys in basketball is mind-boggling. But I digress. So the league is going to be late coming around on this. They're going to have to eventually come around. Nick Wright, First Things First on Fox, posited the following theory that Adam Silver is fighting the wrong war. Take a listen.
I think Adam Silver is fighting the wrong war.
How so?
There are two things fans really complain about the NBA. Tanking, flopping.
Yes.
Adam Silver is like, tanking, we're ending it. 3-2-1, but new lottery method. Plus, by the way, Commissioner Freedom to fine a team $10 million, strip you of your draft pick, I'm ending this. Here's the thing about tanking. You know when you never have to worry about tanking? Once the playoffs start. And you know when people really care about basketball? Once the playoffs start.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Flopping, on the other hand, they are fruit of the same poisonous tree. Mm-hmm. The incentives are this. There are rules in place against both. They're not enforced at all. Mm-hmm. So the smarter teams figure out the ways to exploit it. The smarter teams figure out this is the best way to get a draft pick. And you can't convince me that Oklahoma City, with all of its intelligence and analytics and the fact that everyone on the team does it, that this isn't coached to a degree.
No doubt.
Like, hey, guys, it is smart if you feel contact to fall. It is worth this many points to do it. And we're whistling through the graveyard on it.
Amen.
Because it is in the highest leverage games for the defending champion that might soon be the two-time defending champion. You know what every other smart team is going to do? Can't beat them, join them.
Yep.
And that is a great point. There is no way that the Thunder, being as smart as they are, having figured out how to reverse engineer the most optimal way to build a team, to accrue draft picks, to make smart trades, to prey upon the egomaniacal, idiotic owners in the league, namely Steve Ballmer, who had already broken every salary cap rule, it turns out there was, hadn't paid a penalty yet for it. Thank you, Pablo Torre, though, for peeling the lid back on it. He had already broken all these rules on paying Kawhi Leonard under the table to pry him away as a free agent from Toronto. But one of the big conditions was Kawhi's like, you got to get my boy Paul George. So now he's over a barrel, Steve Ballmer, and he's a billionaire. He's the richest owner in the league, so he's not going to think, I've got my limits here. I really can't do this trade now. It's too many assets. No, he shovels all these assets and SGA to go get Paul George. Disastrous trade that set up OKC. Kudos to Presti and the Thunder for being smart to figure out how to gamify it, engineer it, and do it. Don't for a second think, like Nick Wright says, that they haven't figured out how to gamify and engineer more calls and more free throws and that they're not coaching it. They are. That's obvious. And it's not just SGA. He is, of course, the poster boy for the flopping because he is the two-time MVP, but the rest of the team does it as well, and they're very good. There was a play last night in which Caruso, dribbling near the top of the key towards the right side, sees that he's about to be defended pretty hard. I think it's by Vassell. And he then puts his arm, that would be he being Caruso. Caruso puts his arm around Vassell's waist and then just throws himself to the floor. Luckily, the referees didn't fall for it that time. But they're still getting tricked a lot. And so when Adam Silver goes on McAfee, which he did this past week, and says, point blank, the referees have been great in the playoffs, you could hear a lot of NBA fans just deflate, thinking, oh, God, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. This has got to be addressed. Jay Williams has seen the light. Jay Williams of ESPN, who I saw a clip of him previously getting up and walking off set in mock protest because Michael Wilbon had the gall to say, you know, I don't want OKC to win it again because then every kid who plays this game is going to start flopping like SGA. And basically, Jay Williams is like, oh, I can't sit here and listen to that slander of the two-time NBA MVP. Well, Jay Williams finally saw the light. Here he was on a segment on Get Up on Friday.
First off, I'd say SGA is one of the most special players we have in the game of basketball. He is elite when he plays up and down. There's a reason why he's two-time MVP. But cue this. We're going to have this segment that's going to call Life Alert with SGA. Okay. Help me, I've fallen, and I can't get up.
Oh, no.
Okay. Let's just talk through it. SGA at the top of the key here is going to start driving down the lane. And as he drives down the lane, I want everybody to pay attention to where he is. Time and situation. Goes up, fading away, straight up and down. Can make that shot. Player defending him in the pocket, not extending. Why fall down? Falls down, number one. Why? No need to fall down, SGA. Play through it. Next possession, literally, going for the ball. Goes up for it. Vassell's there. Creates contact. Look at the elbow that he uses, Green, right here.
Yeah.
He's literally using the elbow in his chest.
Right.
His elbow's in his chest.
He is
vertical.
Yeah.
He is vertical. Why? Just lay the ball in. I fall, and I can't get up again. Part number two. Now, this is not only SGA. Their whole team does this. This is why I said every possession feels like a negotiation with the refs. Watch Lou Dort, who's going to be in this little spot here as the play goes. Lou Dort is right here.
Okay.
He's right here. Cornette here, Lou there. Okay? Lou's coming on the play. He comes off the screen. What is that? He falls down? Why fall down? Just get over the screen. You didn't get hit like that. Makes another shot. SGA, once again at the top. He's going to drive. He's going to get all the way to the lane. Easy little lay in here. Goes up. Nobody's on him. Is anybody on him? Nobody's on him. Three guys around him. One, two, three. Nobody's touching him.
Yeah, guess what's going to happen.
Easy left-handed lay at the rim, right?
Guess what's going to happen.
Easy. Why fall? Why fall? And then the last play.
And there you go, and he falls. There's another minute he goes through these plays. Of course, people have the predictable reaction. One person said, do people really enjoy watching a guy who played 75 career games mock the reigning two-time MVP? Who is this for? Jay Will responded, one thing I've learned in sports, business, and media, when people can't attack the argument, they attack the messenger. I showed three clips. The conversation became about my resume. That's usually a sign we're no longer discussing the actual point. So the jig is up. The cat is out of the bag. People are fully aware. The next thing to wonder is, when will the league act and how will they act? It cannot continue because it's too effective. It's too valuable for teams that have figured out how to do it. Coming up, I am no prude. And I don't mind when there are fleeting expletives when it comes to our professional athletes, when it comes to the media. But I don't know about this Javon Kinlaw soundbite from this past week at OTAs. I will play the heavily redacted version of that next. I'll play it. You make the call on whether you like it, love it, or are not such a fan. Sports Sunday here on The Fan. Sports Sunday here on The Fan, May 31st, 2026. El Baldo with you, Steve Zabin. Hit me up at Zabe. You can also listen to my podcast 5 days a week, the Zabecast. Find it wherever you find your quality pods. Metal Chris is producing today's show in on this beautiful Sunday, and he is quite nervous. As nervous as a priest in a whorehouse over the next 30 seconds.
What?
You ever heard that one?
No.
Yeah. You're as unsettled as a cat on a hot tin roof or a priest in a whorehouse. Either way, I said I'm going to play the Javon Kinlaw quote about the guys they've got on defense this year coming up for the Commanders, and that I have thoroughly and fully FCC compliant bleeped out all the bad words. You're like, you did this to me once, Zabe, where you let one through, and I had to dump it. And what did I tell you? That's why we have a dump button.
I'm the guy that likes today.
I know. I know. Nobody wants to have to use the dump button because, God forbid, it's broken. I've worked in radio stations where something came through and we're like, okay, dump, dump, dump. And the producer's like, it's not working. I'm like, what do you mean the dump button is not working? Well, we told our engineers it had to be fixed, but that was 2 weeks ago. I put in the repair ticket. And I'm like, Jesus, you got to get that fixed. We're working without a net here, for God's sake.
They also shortened the time for our delay recently in the last like couple months. So.
Did they tell you that?
They did. They sent a big email out, and it has to do with the shows on Monumental because they want to keep the delay equal to theirs, and they use a shorter one than we do, so we're just trying to make it all the same. And yeah, but it means we have less time.
What is the delay?
It's not much. It's only like 10 seconds.
Seconds?
But we can hit, like, so if you hit it like twice, it does like 20. You know what I mean?
Doubles
like,
it up.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. So you only have 10 seconds from the time either you hear or the host says, oh my God, a naughty word got through, hit that magic button that deletes, that deletes a chunk of airtime that is delivered out over the publicly owned airwaves, which have to comply to family standards, according to the Federal Communications Commission, are wonderful and caring, evil overlords. I didn't say that. So, Javon Kinlaw was asked at the latest round of OTAs out there in Ashburn about, so, defense this year, going to be better, going to be good, you excited, what do you think? Well, of course, Kinlaw's going to say he's excited. He's not going to bring up the fact that last year they finished dead freaking last in yards allowed, 32nd. That the Commanders finished fourth worst in points allowed. They allowed the third most passing yards, fifth most rushing yards in the league. They registered the second fewest takeaways in the league. They were not just bleep on a bun. They were bleep on a bun with suck sauce and extra strips of your terrible bacon. That's how bad the sandwich was on defense. So, yes, we want it to be better. We need it to be better. They've brought in some guys to help make it be better. Kinlaw, though, had an interesting take on it. Buckle up. Here we go.
Nice. Yeah, we got some motherfuckers now. Excuse my language, but Owe, he can go. The Charles Menu can go. The Caleb Vaughn can go. The Tim Settle, he can go. Who else am I missing? Then we got the D. Wise back. You already know he can go. We got D.A. coming back. He can go. Jerzon can go. I mean, D. Payne can go. You know, it's going to be exciting, bro. It's going to be super exciting to play with these guys.
Okay, there we go. We survived. I got them all. I took out every one of his bleep commas. S-H you know what commas. Now, here's the interesting thing. I believe, Metal Chris, that he only said the S and the H when talking to reporters. Does that have to be bleeped out, even though we know what he's referring to?
I mean, it's not supposed to go on the air. I know that.
No, but if you don't say the I and the T, does that then qualify?
I don't
as
know.
A
that,
bad
I,
word?
We've had discussions about that off air with some of the shows we've done right. And stuff too. And it's like, what was he saying exactly? Or like they change right. It mid words. They know they're about to swear and like
right.
But the general consensus coming from the bosses is always just. Just dump it if you're not sure.
Well, the phrase that was used in the big FCC learning modules they made us click through in radio after the stupid Janet Jackson Nipplegate controversy, The phrase that pays was, when in doubt, leave it out. So sure enough, that's what I've tried to adhere to. He could just be saying, shoot, shoot. You know, D. Payne, he can go, shoot, so-and-so, he can go, shoot, so-and-so. But it was not. Now, but he was check swinging it into just a shh. So I don't know where we stand. I took them all out anyway. It's the first one in which he says plainly, yeah, we got some mother...
yeah.
Some mother lovers, as the saying goes. We got some mother lovers. I love the enthusiasm. I love the attitude. I love the fact that he is talking very positively about his future teammates. That's the way it should be. However, as a fan and as somebody who is in front of a microphone in the media, it is my job, my duty, my responsibility to say, yeah, well, don't be garbage this year. That's a nice soundbite for May. And it gets people fired up. Somebody said, print a T-shirt. We got some. And I'm like, oh, boy. Okay, so he said a bad word. Congratulations. They actually need to be a good unit, I mean, which I hope and think they will. I don't think they're going to be worst in the league again. How much better, though, is the question.
I prefer the simple, we will not be sucked.
Yes,
that
right.
That was the better one.
That was, the Obie's was great. We will not be suck again this year. Yeah, 384.3 yards per game. Just absolute Swiss cheese. Complete Chinese fire drill, chaos on the back end. Nobody knows where they're running. Oh, my God. What are we doing? Yeah. All right. Javon Kinlaw's been heard from. When it comes to these OTAs, look, if you're into them, if you like them, if you are doing anything to evaluate them, I mean, okay, great. If you're in the media like a lot of us are, you kind of have to go. The beat guys are required to go show their face and stick a microphone in front of coaches and players and ask questions. But Dan Campbell had the best line this week for the Lions about who looked good in OTA.
Does that have stuck out in the first 2 days?
I mean, there's been a lot of guys that have done really well for 2 days in pajamas. And then there's, you know, there's some that are learning through it. You know, they're working through it. They're learning.
Pajama party. I'm going to play the rest of this pipe. Keep your hand near the dump button. Now, this is the Lions official video. I don't think they would put out bad words. I don't know if he swears. Take a listen.
But there again, I'm done with the hype of the pajama party in May. It's about the mental. It's about the movement skills. Like, all that other stuff doesn't matter. And then we'll find out in training camp who's who. This will be the most competition we've had, in my opinion. I think top-tier competition. I mean, this will be good. This is going to be good across the board.
There you go. Yeah. Lions are facing a very interesting crossroads because it looks like their first window to do this thing may have closed. They've got to definitely prop up some elements and reinvent. And yeah, but it's a pajama party. You're running around. Nobody's tackling. Nobody has pads on. What are we really getting out of it? Nothing. We're getting good sound bites from Javon Kinlaw and learning that he uses the S word like a comma, which is fine. Coming up, Beer Snake, old and tired, tarps off, hot and wired. More on the Fan trend sweeping baseball. It's Sports Sunday here on The Fan. That was the energy from the tarps off section yesterday at Nats Park on a beautiful, sunny, early summer day. Welcome back. Sports Sunday here on The Fan. Yours truly, Steve Zabin, with you. Tarps off. It's the latest sensation. It started really big time in St. Louis with the Cardinals fans, where, and if you're like, what does that even mean? I'm listening on the radio. I can't see the clip you're playing. It is groups of young men taking off their shirts, a.k.a. tarps off, and waving them in the air and just getting rowdy. And yeah, there are many men in that section who are not exactly underwear models. They're not Brad Pitt. They're not, pick some other good-looking, super-fit dude. You go with what you got. You do it, you commit to the bit, tarps off, let's go. I would say, Metal Chris, that would be something that I would not be comfortable doing just because, honestly, nobody needs to see my junk underneath. Like, I don't need to be showing that nowhere. Even if I was in good shape and I've been working out for quite a while and they're like, all right, you look looking pretty good. Guess what? I'd still be pasty white. Because the amount of golf I play with a shirt on, which is required, has rendered me with a farmer's tan, which is really a golfer's tan, that is so out of balance, there's no way I'll even it up. Not just by the end of this summer, by the end of 10 summers, I'll never even it up.
You know you can fix that, right?
How?
Tattoo sleeves.
Yeah, okay. I guess that's one solution.
Showing off your ink. You don't have to worry about all that other stuff, yeah. Man. That's awesome, man.
There you go. So what do you think about the tarps off phenomenon that is now populating across Major League Ballparks?
This isn't much different than going to like an outdoor metal festival or something to me. Like, yeah, fat dudes with their shirts off. There's probably a lot less tattoo work, I'm guessing. But like, I don't know, man.
But this is a group thing. This is a group activity. Sure. I would say at a metal fest, if you're hot and if you're feeling it, take it off. This is like,
I'm sorry,
we're
do you think
doing
everyone
this.
At a metal fest is hot? I'm sorry. Wait.
What? I mean hot in terms of temperature hot.
Okay,
not good
I was like,
looking
hold on
hot.
Here. This ain't about our looks, man. It's about the excitement. Who cares, man?
Oh, I know. Well, okay. My point is at these ball games, it's become a group activity. Now, so it started with the Cardinals fans. They were starting to do it on a regular basis. Then Brewer fans did it at AmFam, and the TV cameras picked up, you know, the little section of, you know, young men doing this. They showed it on TV, and by the two innings later, the number of men up there going tarps off had doubled. And for some reason, the Milwaukee Brewers game ops people sent ushers to block the entrance to the empty upper deck section where the tarps off was happening. I have no idea why they would do that. There were seats nobody was using. Nobody was getting hurt. so they weren't losing any money. They just wanted to ruin some fun, I guess.
Oh, that sounds like something the NFL would do with their no fun rules, but
it does, but doesn't it?
I've never been in a stadium where they're blocking people from going to worse seats.
Right. That's pretty ridiculous. Unprecedented right there, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, why not let them have fun? Who cares, man? They're probably buying more beer and stuff anyway, so like whatever.
Absolutely. You know, you want to feel alive.
And what you do is you find out a song that they all like, and then when you want it to happen, you play that song. Like we're like, all right, we need some, you know, motivation in the crowd right now.
Right.
Right? Like you play into it.
Right. This is the same thing as how some venues, some stadiums aggressively banned beer snakes after the DC Defenders made that a thing seven years ago. It's been a while. The beer snake, which, in case you don't know, is used beer cups stacked together in various people's sections to create this giant, growing, living organism of sorts of dead beer cups at a stadium that looks like a giant snake that is being held up by all these hands in a section that is rowdy and drinking beer. I remember distinctly a number of teams like, we're not going to permit this. If you do a beer snake, we're going to come and break it up, throw the trash away. You can't have fun. We don't want to promote drunkenness. Oh, but you do want to sell beer at $12 a cup. I get it. You just not too much fun. So beer snakes are no longer kind of a thing anymore. They do happen in some places. I'm sure this tarps off thing is going to have its summer, its moment, and that it too is going to fade at some point. But it's fun right now, and it's also fun when the baseball team is scoring 9 runs, as they did yesterday to beat the Padres and end a 2-game losing streak. This offense continues to be amazing to watch. Fun to watch in a way that you're like, wow. And there's going to be some interesting, hard decisions in a way that we didn't think would be interesting or hard come the trade deadline for Toboni and company and the Nats. Because even though they are teetering a game above 500, and Grant and Danny had their parade earlier this week, or at least Grant did while Danny was out, marching down there to the ballpark to be over 500 for the first time in forever, it seems, they're kind of way ahead of schedule. At least on half, in terms of at the plate, they're here early. They're here early, and they're like, what are we going to do? So would you trade some pieces like Abrams? Me personally, absolutely. Sell high and don't look back. Understand the fact that the pitching needs so much work, so much development, so many more assets that you're not even close. It's fun. We're having a blast. Shirts are off, but come on. Currently 30-29. Nats today 135. against the Padres to close out the series. All right. Coming up, final segment this hour, hour three after that, and then I want to get into some other stuff that's out there, including some really wild financial stories involving athletes that made me say, okay, looks like some guys were paying attention in class. It is a Sports Sunday right here on The Fan. Happy birthday today to one Clint Eastwood. You heard me right, punk. Care to guess, Metal Chris, how old Clint Eastwood is, a.k.a. Dirty Harry?
Late 80s?
96.
Ooh.
96 years old. That California living is doing Clint Eastwood right. Haven't seen him in the public eye in a while. I'm sure at 96 you're like, ah, oh, man. Then again, Clint Eastwood has been old my entire life. Because even when he was younger, he had that old man sort of vibe to him. Those old man wrinkles, that old man squint. And of course, he played roles in which he leaned into the old man, such as Gran Torino, the whole get off my lawn sitting on his porch with a shotgun. But yeah, Clint Eastwood.
What's your favorite Eastwood movie?
All of them?
That's a cop-out.
It is a cop-out.
It's Unforgiven for me.
Deserve ain't got nothing to do with it. You kill a man, you take all he ever had, all he ever is going to have.
Dude, I love that scene where like Gene Hackman and them are like forming posses and like, you go north, you go south, we're all going to find which way he went. And he just like walks in and shoots them all. So awesome. They're like forming posses to fight him. He just comes in and kills. He's like,
blam, 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 blam.
Anybody don't want to get shot right now, you can walk out right now. Everybody else, like.
Yeah. Here, let me do a quick little thing here. Greatest Clint Eastwood movies. And let's just see. They rank, according to Rotten Tomatoes, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, number one.
I mean, that shootout scene at the end is so cool.
Fistful of Dollars, 2, Unforgiven, 3. In the Line of Fire was his biggest commercial hit as the Secret Service agent. That was 1993. So do the math. 26 plus 7 is 33. 96 minus 33 is 66 back then. Think I'm right. Million Dollar Baby, I didn't see it. Highly acclaimed, number 5. Bridges of Madison County. Oh, that's right. The love story between him and Meryl Streep, number 6. I don't like to think of Clint that way. No. The Outlaw Josie Wales. That's a good one, too. Dirty Harry, 8. Not sophisticated, but with some of the great lines ever, talking about a 357 Magnum, blow your head clean off. Gran Torino, number 9. Space Cowboys, 10. Then Escape from Alcatraz, a whole bunch of other westerns like Coogan's Bluff, High Plains Drifter, Pale Rider, and on and on.
Also, you should just know that it was a 44 Magnum.
Oh, did I say 357?
Yeah.
44 Magnum. Blow your head clean off. What is a 357? Is that a Desert Eagle? No, that's a 50.
Those are also Desert like Eagle. Pistols, yeah, but I'm not a super gun guy, but I believe the big difference there is just a slightly different bullet size.
Okay. There is a 357 Magnum, legendary rimmed centerfire cartridge introduced in 1935, renowned for its high velocity, impressive energy, and flat trajectory. But the 44 Magnum, even bigger. Blow your head even cleaner off. I couldn't believe this story when I saw it. Gerard Mayo, remember him? He of the one-and-done run as the successor to one Bill Belichick in New England, has returned to the business world and will no longer be coaching. It ends his short 6-year coaching stint, which had that 1 year as the boss of the Patriots. Not a good year at that, in the middle. He has taken a job as the managing director at Fifth Down Capital, a private equity and business firm. Mayo posted the information on his LinkedIn profile. I had no idea. Mayo played for the Patriots for 8 years. He spent 3 years as VP of Business Development at Optum, the healthcare services company. Hey, I know them. I deal with those wonderful people. And then returned to the Patriots as an inside linebackers coach. Okay. Sounds like a smart guy. Who knew that Kyle Kuzma was a smart guy? Don't dunk me by Kyle Kuzma. Great Tracy Morgan line from SNL. Here was Kuzma talking about launching his own venture capital fund himself.
Just becoming a career like Kobe did with a fund that other people could invest in?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, I think for me, over the past couple of years, I've been, you know, kind of that singular investor and, you know, getting onto cap tables or, you know, hopping into other people's SPVs or, you know, in the VC space that I know and I can hop in. But, you know, learning this space a little bit, you know, the money is, you know, having a fund, you know, being able to, you know, take the upside off of your access that you have. And, you know, I'm in such a unique position because, as an athlete, everybody wants to talk to you. You know, everybody wants to be around you. And, you know, you can use that for multiple ways. You can use that, you know, to be cool and, you know, party and have a fun, good time and be famous. But you can also use that as leverage to build your own platform if you're knowledgeable enough to then use that access to get into, you know, blue chip companies that, you know, can really change your life.
Well, that's great. That is the anti-go broke 3 years after you retire take. I would just say to Kuz, don't wear that giant stupid pink sweater into a pitch meeting with your private equity firm. Coming up, hour number three, the Brendan Sorsby gambling story keeps getting worse and worse. We'll get into it as we round the corner into our final hour. Sports Sunday here on The Fan with the Zabe.